Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Leo Quinones.
Yes, here we are all together because one thing, we love movies. My name is Leo Quinones. This is the Popcorn Talk Network and the Film Freak Movie Interview. This is where filmmakers come to talk about movies. I'm so glad that you are here. You know, it's Oscar week. It's big. Eddie Redmayne, he's the front runner for Best Actor for playing Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything. But on the line, how about the director, the man with the vision of The Theory of Everything? His name, James Marsh. He's right here. James, thank you so much for being with us on the Film Freak Movie Interview.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me about Jane Hawking's book, Traveling to Infinity, My Life with Stephen. How did that affect you, sir?
Well, that was the source material for the screenplay that Anthony McCarten wrote. And I went to the book having read the screenplay first. And you know, what it offers is a very interesting perspective on Stephen's life, his disability, and indeed his scientific achievements, but from a wife's point of view. And so the film really isn't a biography of Stephen Hawking in the conventional way. It's really a portrait of a relationship, a marriage, mm-hmm. which allows you to look at his life and his achievements from the perspective of a woman. And so in the story, we have an equal point of view between Stephen Hawking and Jane Hawking, his wife. Mm-hmm. And so the book was a starting point for this. And of course, we made dramatic choices in what we showed from the book, and we told that story, but that's the essential source material for it, and a very interesting one as well, to have that perspective, a woman's perspective on Stephen's life.
I'm sure the book was incredible on all counts, but what were some of the themes or threads you opted to leave out of the movie?
Well, quite a lot. I mean, to be honest, you know, a film has to be very, very selective, particularly you have 2 hours mm-hmm. to tell what's the story of a relationship that plays out over 20-odd years. So much of it's left out. So, you know, there's trips abroad that we didn't manage to, you know, include in the screenplay when Stephen and Jane begin to travel as Stephen's academic career takes off and he is invited to talk and to be come to America, in fact, and spend some time at Caltech. So those are things you leave out. You leave out, you know, with a heavy heart. But what you have to do is distill, you know, what is a very long book into 2 hours of screen time, and try and be true to the emotional center of the story, which is really the relationship between Stephen and Jane, as it plays out from Stephen being able-bodied when they first meet, and then and Jane having to make the choice when Stephen is diagnosed. Does she stay with him? Mm-hmm. And presumably, you know, expect him to die within a couple of years. What a terrible choice that is. And she does indeed do that, but of course it gets more complicated and more interesting because Stephen, you know, survives to this day, and so the relationship is actually quite different from what she's expecting when she goes into the marriage. So, you know, to answer your question, we leave most of it out. I think most people do when they're making, you know, biographical films about people. You leave so much out.
Talking with James Marsh, the movie The Theory of Everything. Now, a strange phenomenon happened recently, and you were probably in the editing bay of The Theory of Everything. The ALS Ice Bucket Challenge was sweeping the world, and it must have been a unique perspective for you at that time in your life, was it not?
Well, it was indeed. It was one of those interesting coincidences. Stephen has now done that challenge in his own way. Eddie Redmayne has done it, of course, our lead actor who plays Stephen in the film. And it's nice. I mean, it's not nice. It's great that there's more awareness of what is a really, you know, awful disease. It's not just the person who has to endure it, but the impact on loved ones and family is very profound. And our story is about that, too. And so the idea, you know, that our film in its own way, perhaps, is making people more aware of ALS and how much it impacts, you know, someone's life and how it's a sort of death sentence, really, and a very progressive and awful disability. So, you know, perhaps our film in its own small way can help people understand that illness a bit better, as played out by someone who's managed to kind of somehow defy it, which is very unusual in this particular illness, that Stephen has managed to live for 50 years with that diagnosis, which is very atypical, unfortunately.
All right. Tell me about and you can describe it any way you want to, James Marsh, about Stephen Hawking's entrance to the set. I understand it wasn't just an ordinary entrance.
No, it wasn't. How could it be? Stephen has what is now a very large and imposing, it's not even a wheelchair, it's more like a kind of motorized chariot. We were filming in Cambridge, very close to where he works, and so we had to obviously to invite him. And we invite him to a night shoot where we were actually creating a May Ball, May Ball being a kind of summer party that happens at Cambridge where students, you know, dance and have a big party. Mm-hmm. And this is really where we show Stephen and Jane falling in love across the course of this scene at the May Ball. So Stephen duly arrives with this enormous sort of formidable wheelchair that would, you know, run people down if you got in the way of it. And it was really much, felt to me like a spaceship had landed. And the reason why is that there's a light from his communication device that lights his face in a very interesting and slightly kind of surreal way. Hmm. And he's got four or five people that are sort of tethered, almost invisibly tethered, if you like, to the wheelchair, who are his carers. And this sort of descends upon you, and his timing was amazing. We were just letting off quite an extravagant firework display. And he arrived just around that time, so it all felt absolutely as it should be, and was there to witness what was, for Eddie Redmayne, the second day of filming. So Eddie, you know, it was bad enough, in a sense, what we were asking Eddie to do, but to raise the stakes more, but even more so with Stephen's presence, was quite difficult for him. But it was a very agreeable, you know, visit so early on in the production to have Stephen himself there, you know, for us all to see and to interact with as we went on this, you know, long filming process to tell his story.
Incredible story. I have some words from Stephen Hawking's Facebook page. At times, I thought he, meaning Eddie Redmayne, was me. Now, for you, the filmmaker, is that the ultimate critic right there?
Well, I certainly for Eddie, it would be, you know, he's passed the most important test of all. In fact, there's no other test that he needs now to pass if Stephen is convinced and was able to, you know, to watch the film as a story, where obviously he's a character, but the character playing him so convinced him is an extraordinary compliment to Eddie's abilities. And for me, it's, when we showed it to Stephen, he told me that he found the film to be broadly true, which is my version of that, where I've made a film about his life, his personal life, his intimate life with his first wife, and he's found that to be broadly true. I think that for me was a great takeaway from Stephen himself, and I'm very, very grateful and very generous thing to say as well, very gracious thing to say, given the nature of the film we were making. So both Eddie and I have had from Stephen, I think, the best compliment we could ever hope for.
You, and Ark, as a person, did your opinion or your idea of Stephen Hawking change after this experience?
Well, it did. I mean, in ways that were very positive, and my admiration for him just increased exponentially when I realized, you know, what he managed to achieve with the obstacles that were put in his way. And it's, you know, it's sort of a paradigm for us all to live a full and productive life, given the impediments that he had to overcome. But also, I began very quickly to understand Jane Hawkins' role in this and how important she was and the sacrifices she'd made. And she's a very formidable woman in her own right, and how she'd enabled Stephen's life to be so productive. And so I began to have enormous respect and admiration for her, too, as a character, which is very helpful when you're making a film, that you feel like you really like and respect the two main characters, and you feel like it's your duty to be true to what you've found, both as meeting them as people and also in what they've chosen to do with their lives.
I'm going to try and get this question out without fumbling, but here I go, James. When I drive in L.A. traffic and I'm in a car for 2 hours and I get out, you know, I'm all, oh my gosh, that really is uncomfortable and I hurt. Let's talk about Eddie Redmayne, and let's talk about what he had to endure, and you were there, right there, watching this performance firsthand. What can you say about what he went through physically and mentally as well?
Well, firstly, that's a very interesting question. Firstly, there's a psychological aspect of this. You know, what Eddie had to do when he was preparing for the film was to essentially, you know, reckon with his own mortality and with this, and understand what this illness was. So on a psychological and emotional level, that's quite difficult. And there's, of course, a vast technical challenge in this. And what Eddie did so beautifully in preparation was to internalize, essentially, several different stages of the illness. It's not a stable illness. It just gets worse and worse and worse. So he had to master five different physical conditions, starting off with being able-bodied, but kind of clumsy and able-bodied. And that's interesting that that first part was really quite difficult, to try and show a clumsiness and an awkwardness in the way he walks and the way he picked things up.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very tiny, small gestures, and those are those were done beautifully, I think, when we filmed. But when he gets more and more disabled and ends up in the wheelchair, then that's when the physical ardor of this begins to become very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so Eddie would shoot, and then he would be in character, and I'd hear this sort of anguished moan as he broke, broke out of character. And just got into a more comfortable position in the wheelchair. And this would happen every day, at least 20 times. I'd hear this moan, and you'd see the dailies, the film that you're shooting that night or the next day, and then you'd hear this terrible moan. And I realized what I was doing to him. But he never complained. He never, ever was not able to do anything I asked him to do. He was always ready. He was always ready to do more if I wanted him to do more. That's another part of the performance that was, for me, so rewarding, was his stamina was extraordinary, in his approach to it, and his decency about the sort of physical discomfort of this. But we'd always say to each other, we're making a film here about this, and we don't have to do this every day. And that sort of that did keep you fairly humble and not too self-important about what we were trying to pull off as actors and filmmakers. But that's not taking anything away from what he did. It's truly extraordinary what he pulled off in that role.
It was a visceral experience, escapism. You took us all away. The theater went dark, and we just went somewhere else. James Marsh, director of The Theory of Everything, I can't thank you enough for being on the film.
No, thank you so much for that. That was a lovely summary of what we were trying to do with the film, so thank you very much for that.
All right, we'll talk again.
Thanks a lot.
$33 million at the box office, The Theory of Everything. I do believe Eddie Redmayne will take home the gold statue. What a brilliant performance. So thank you so much, James Marsh, and best of luck to you on the Oscar dance. And I want to thank you for being here, the Popcorn Talk Network. Isn't it amazing? Thank you, Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, to give us this place where we all talk about movies. There's a myriad of movies, and we're constantly... There's a myriad of movie shows, and we're constantly adding shows, so please come back, check it out, and there's so much for you. We really appreciate you being here. And you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is @MovieInterview. I really appreciate it. I hope all your Oscar picks are gold, and I'll see you next time, right here on the Film Freak Movie Interview. See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.